Welcome along to the Sweet Spot, the Racing Post's weekly golf show. I'm Bruce Millington and I'm joined by Albert Einstein. Well, I mean, the greatest tip, the current greatest tipster in the world, Seb Carmichael Brown, and the man who normally occupies that position, Steve Palmer. We'll be hearing from him later. We're going to be boasting like mad because last week, Seb, well, it's just one of the most incredible tipping performances I've ever seen. It really was fantastic. That will form a big part of our review of last week with the Arnold Palmer Invitational.
The Albert Einstein Invitational.
I was about to say, yeah, exactly.
Renamed it.
And also what happened in Qatar, which was less successful from a tipping point of view, so we won't be spending too long on that, but we do have to start with last week's Arnold Palmer Invitational, in which Seb had four selections. We don't care that Stenston blew out.
No.
That doesn't matter because he had the 50-1 winner in Tyrrell Hatton, the 40-1 second in Leishman, and the 16-1 fourth in Bryson DeChambeau. To top that up, Steve Palmer's headliner was Sungjae Im, who was third at 25-1. So if you watched last week and you heeded our advice and you bet, hopefully you did well. It was a fantastic performance, Seb. Well played, my friend. I hope you had a few bets yourself.
Thankfully, I did. A little each way on all of them, so it was a nice return for me. I mean, every dog has his day, right? So, yeah, I was woofing.
I know, you've set the bar now. We're
okay,
expecting
great.
This
pressure,
sort of stuff every week. Just in terms of the actual mechanics of the final day, I mean, Hatton held it together really well, but there was a point midway through the back nine where it looked like he was sort of erupting and that famous temple was going to get the better of him, but he pulled it back together. I mean, the shot was that he'd hit that awful tee shot that was short and in the deep stuff at the par four, and he wafted one onto the green and made four there. That was absolutely brilliant, wasn't it?
But well, at no point did he look scared. And no, even when he hit the ball in the water, hit a few errant shots immediately after that, dropping shots left, right and centre. I'm guessing he and his caddy had a look on the leaderboard and they saw that everyone else was doing the same thing. But this man played to win. Some of the people playing conservatively, the course was set up so tough. There's all sorts of crazy stats. Some of the lowest scoring or highest scoring rounds in PGA for nearly a decade on tour. We're yet another. I mean, four under to win an event. That's a very, very high finish, if you like. So it was all about just keeping your composure, grinding it out. And I really enjoyed just how well he did that. I said previously when I was on him at the WGC that I think he's going to have a good year. And his wrist injury appears to be behind him now. Nothing's holding back now.
Fantastic. Well, it was a really great shout, and Hatton obviously is going to be a big player in the Players' Championship, which we will look at shortly. A quick word about the Qatar Masters, in which Jorge Campillo blew a three-shot lead later on, fell back into a share of the lead after 72 holes with David Drysdale, and then they went on a massive birdie spree on the extra hole, and in the end, Campillo got the job done. They would have all been big prices. That was very much one for the bookies, that tournament, wasn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. They'd have been loving that one, absolutely. And, you know, this week we're going to talk on next. I can see being a bit of a bookie's favourite as well. Very, very tough one to predict the winner of the Players. So I'm interested to get what Steve's thoughts are on this.
OK, well, let's get Steve's thoughts first on the Arnold Palmer. Tyrrell Hatton, a player who I know you've got a lot of time for, Steve, got the job done?
Yeah, not a big fan of Hatton. I don't really rate him highly as a player. I don't think he's going to establish himself in the top 10 of the world. And I don't rate him at all as a character. I think the petulance that he shows on the course is disgraceful. I've got two young kids who I'm hoping to get into golf, and I'm glad they weren't with me watching on Sunday night, because he's always cursing, he's throwing clubs around, he seems to blame everything that goes wrong on something else, you know, a gust of wind. So yeah, I'm not a huge Hatton fan. I really like his caddy. I had a drink with his caddy once at an Open Championship, Mickey Donaghy, and I feel like he deserves much more than the 10% that you get for winning checks. I think he deserves about 50%, old Donaghy, for putting up with all that nonsense.
At one point, Steve, Hatton, I think he dropped a shot, or I can't remember quite what, but he sort of made a gesture towards the hole. As he was walking off the green, he did that sort of 70s gesture that builders do, where they sort of put their left hand on their right bicep and then hold their right fist up.
Just before that, he'd done a sniper shot as well. Yeah. He pretended to shoot somebody with his thing. I mean, I personally think, I do agree with you, Steve, it's not a good example for kids. Absolutely no contesting or defending that. But to watch it as an adult, I think it's quite enjoyable. I think it's quite entertaining. You see a bit of insight to him. You know what I can see with Tyrrell Hatton? Is I can see him being maybe a new Ian Poulter for us on the Ryder Cup team. Someone for the Americans to hate. Him to be the guy that we love to hate or hate to love. I don't think he's going anywhere, Steve. I'll be honest with you, mate. I think you're going to have to deal with a lot more Tyrrell Hatton. And with the back of his recent performances, or anything to go by, well, I certainly quite enjoy him.
I'll tell you what, I'm going to have a little rant here now, OK? Because I was watching it, and there's a lot to like about the Sky stuff. I think Nick Doherty's excellent. I think Raed O'Reilly on the fairways is one of the most entertaining sports broadcasters. But, OK, it was 10 to 10, and the cameras, sorry, the microphone picked up on Hatton and his caddy having a conversation. And his caddy swore. But it's no big deal. And then you've got Rich Beamer, who, again, I quite like. But Hatton hit that lovely shot into 18, didn't he? And he's pretty much secured it. And you've got Beam feeling like he's got a witter and about an apology. I mean, just grow it. It doesn't matter. It's 10 to 10. We're all adults. I know they've got to be Ofcom compliant. But if someone happens to swear, it doesn't matter, honestly. Stop apologising, Sky, please. Anyway, Steve, from a punting perspective, what did you take out of last week's tournament?
Well, I mean, Sung Jae-im, if you're talking about character, he conducted himself with absolute aplomb, didn't he? He's the total opposite to Hatton, just, you know, no frills and keeps his head down, and he certainly won't get any swearing from him. And if he did, it would be in Korean. But, yeah, I thought he was going to... I still think him is absolutely world-class. I think him, long-term, is a better bet than Hatton for, you know, major success. He looked the likely winner for a long way, played beautifully for 12 holes. Just at the point when Hatton found the drink at the 11th, I mean, Hatton drove into the water, and then about 2 minutes later, him hit the most shocking shot of his round, you know, a wedge from 111 yards into the water short of the green. So yeah, absolute disaster for him fans there. Then he three putted the 15th and ended up losing by a couple of shots. So yeah, I think going forward, concentrate on Sung Jae-im. I think he's world class.
But what a bit of tipping by our man there, Seb, Steve.
Absolutely superb. Yeah, yeah. I mean, I see a picture of Tyrrell Hatton and Seb together there. They look quite similar, and I think they're friends for life now. But I don't want to be Hatton's friend. I'll happily be Seb's friend, but not Hatton's.
What I will say to you guys is thank you very much for talking me out of backing Brooks Koepka, because I thought, well, you know, he must come good, but he was absolutely hopeless again, wasn't he? And did you hear what he said in the press conference?
He had an expletive for us, didn't he? Physically expletive. And I think... when he was sort of rebuted on it by the reporter, he said, "Fine me. Yeah. Like, I'm not bothered. I'm going to say what I like. I'm Brooks Koepka." I mean, he had an 81, but there was a lot of people shooting in the 80s or high 70s this week. And yeah, you can maybe not take too much into it. He did play very, very tough. And in the first two rounds, you could get the wrong side of the draw, especially in that second round. And I think that happened to one of the guys I'm going to maybe talk about for this week. But yeah, pretty, pretty tough one. It was interesting to see. A lot of people were thinking, when is the week to back Brooks again? I think you've got to wait a little bit.
Won't be for a while. Well, last week belonged to Tyrrell Hatton and to Seb Carmichael Brown. Let's see who are going to be the kings of this week. Right then, this week, it's the second year in its new slot. It's the Players' Championship, the so-called fifth major, moved from May to March. So it's a fantastic week. If you're a golf and a racing fan, you've got the Cheltenham Festival and you've got the Players' Championship. Absolutely superb stuff. The cream of world golf are gathered at Sawgrass for this superb, prestigious tournament. If we have a look at the betting, the defending champion is Rory McIlroy. He's obviously very short. It's incredible, though. If you priced this up at the start of the year and you said you'd have DJ at 25-1, Brooks Koepka at 40-1, it'd be extremely odd. But that reflects what's happened so far this year. Before we get the lads' tips, Steve, what sort of test is this?
Well, it's the famous TPC Sawgrass. We love watching this every year, don't we? 7,189 yards, par 72, four par fives. Used to be played in May, very firm and fast in May and really difficult. I think it's important that punters realise now they've moved the tournament from March. They've moved the tournament from May to March. And that is dramatically different conditions at Sawgrass. It's much lusher terrain, slower course. The ball doesn't fly as far. You had players last year saying in 2018 they hit wedges into greens and then they're hitting long irons on the same hole. So I think last year's form is much more important than any other. But the greens are much more receptive in March. So, I think for big hitters, it's an easier assignment.
Seb, what sort of player are you looking at this week?
Yeah, for me, I think big hitters is a big point of it. So maybe strokes gained off the tee, driving distance possibly. I think also approach into the green, strokes gained. And then finally for me, it's probably going to be maybe par four scoring. I think people who can get it out there and play well on the fours could be quite big. So they're the main stats I've looked at.
Okay, well, you are the man in form, so we go with you first for your main selection.
Okay.
Drum roll here.
Yeah, well, so my main selection is Webb Simpson. Webb Simpson is the first in the field for par four scoring. He is the seventh in strokes gained approach, and he is the 13th in strokes gained putting. He's really figured out that short stick right now, particularly putts well on Bermuda greens, which we'll have again this week.
Past winner as well?
He is a past winner. He's actually got two tied 16s and that win in the last three starts here at Sawgrass. Six out of seven top 10s this season, including a win at the Waste Management Open. I think he's underrated, personally, and he's someone that's around the leaderboard an awful lot.
He's not flashy, is he? He's not a sort of flamboyant Ricky Fowler type. So do you think that actually gets woven into his odds, potentially?
Possibly. I think there's so many fantastic players this week, and a lot of the guys I've looked at here, I've not really focused on the top of the end of the betting, to be honest. I really love value, Bruce. I love looking for value, and there's a few I've looked down here. I look at a few stats, and I think, you know what? That price is just too big. So I'm also an each-way punter. So I'd never really back just the win. So therefore, I'm quite happy to gather a couple of places here and there. And I think can't see much better value towards the top of the leaderboard than Webb, who's available around 28 to 1.
Lovely. And don't forget, do shop around, not just for the best win odds, but also the best each way terms. Because bookmakers will be offering all sorts of elaborate and exotic numbers of the people they will pay out on. Steve, Seb's gone for Webb Simpson. Who's your main man going to be?
My main man is Dustin Johnson, who you've already mentioned is an incredible price. I mean, I couldn't believe seeing 28 to 1 available in the opening shows, bigger on the betting exchanges. I think the bookies must have enjoyed laying him for the Mexico Championship at really short prices. And I think they're clamouring to take him on again, but I think it's a mistake. He was well backed in Mexico and he flopped, but it was only really the opening round that was a shocker. He played pretty good over the final three rounds, and I've definitely seen enough from him this year to go in at that price. He was all right in the President's Cup on his return from knee surgery. He was seventh in the Century Tournament Champions. He was runner-up in the Saudi International. And then he had a winning chance at Riviera, faded from second place to 10th over the back nine on Sunday. But I see Johnson slowly but surely getting his act together in the wake of that knee surgery. And I think in Mexico, he just ran out of gas. I mentioned it at the time. It's his fourth week on the spin, a stretch which started in Saudi Arabia. So he was sluggish from the gates in Mexico. I wouldn't worry about that.
He made the frame last year as well, I think, didn't he?
He was fifth last year. He was fifth last year in this tournament. Really appreciated the lusher terrain. You know, I think the course has changed dramatically. It doesn't sound a lot, you know, May to March, but it's a totally different challenge. And Johnson, yeah, he carded four rounds in the 60s last year. Really appreciated it. He's not played since Mexico. He skipped the Honda and he skipped Bay Hill. And I think that's really, really important time that he needed to freshen up and to sort out his equipment issues. He's been messing about with different equipment. You know, he's had a fortnight now to sort that out. I think Dustin Johnson at 28 to 1 is a mouthwatering price.
Seb, in terms of missing, what Steve makes the point there about people who missed that test last week, I mean, that was brutal last week, wasn't it? Do you get a situation where sometimes you can go into these tournaments that are supposedly prep tournaments and you find your game just gets blown to smithereens, doesn't it?
Well, I think last week, if you're talking about that particular test, I don't think you had to be far off to be really, really all over the place. There are some huge numbers being thrown. You look at some of the scorecards, there's so many bogeys. The stats will all back that up. This is what I'm going to say. I believe that this is where you look for bounce back ability. People have got that mental resilience who just trust their game. That's where I've looked at an awful lot here is people that just, if they have had a bad week the week before, I'm not going to worry about it too much because I do think it will be slightly different this week. I don't think we'll see that sort of a grueling test.
And also, I always say the one thing that separates the pro golfers on tour and the people selling Mars bars in the club shop who go on about how good they are is that bounce back ability. I'm always amazed at the mental resilience of golfers. They smash it into the lake. You know, you or I will be taking it out and smashing our clubs against our bag, whatever. They just shrug and get on with it and make birdie at the next
hole. Some of them do, some of them don't.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Okay, so Webb Simpson is your top dog. Who are you going to supplement him with?
So talking about the course here, I think this week is a massive marketing week for the PGA. The PGA, they'll be pushing out a lot of new things this week. There's a new bit of technology that we've only ever seen once before, which was at the Masters last year, where they're going to be able to show every single golfer every single shot on the app. So you can see every single swing of every player. You can almost be the producer of your own tournament.
Wow.
They're announcing their new 10-year media package for all the various networks in America. They've rebranded this year as the Year of Championships. They always obviously keep going on about this as being the fifth major. It's a very, very strong field. We'll hear that all week long here. I feel like with their move, they've made this into March and what they've done last year with the overseeding of the rough, cutting it down a little bit, they're looking at trying to get it more and more Augusta. It obviously is the big event before Augusta. And for me, one of the things I'm looking at is people who maybe have played well or tend to play well at Augusta as well. There you go then. My second pick is Bryson DeChambeau. I've been on him twice this year, two places for me. I think a win is only around the corner. He's got mediocre form here, which I think helps his price a little bit, but he's on absolute fire right now. He actually had his back nine was phenomenal last week at Bay Hill to fly through the ranks. The shot hit into 18 took so much guts. The mad scientist has bulked up. He's strong. He leads in driving distance, fourth in strokes gained total, third in strokes gained off the tee. It's a very, very solid combination of it, all those together. He's got four top fives already this season. A win is definitely coming. I actually really fancy him for Augusta, so I might be having a look to get on him before his price drops any further. He's definitely going to win soon, so I'm on him once again.
Okay, Steve, who's your second tip?
My next best is Xander Schauffele, who's a big occasion player. Five top six finishes in majors in just 11 starts. Relishes difficult layouts like this. When he made an incredible Players' Championship debut in 2018, he finished second to Webb Simpson. Missed the cut by a shot last year. Not overly concerned by that. He had a half-hour wobble last year where he made back-to-back double bogeys at the fourth and fifth in round two. Generally pretty solid. I just feel a significant victory is coming for Schauffele. He was second in the Masters last year, third in the US Open, second in the Tour Championship, second in the WGC HSBC Champions, and at the start of this year, second in the Century Tournament Champions. He's been coming close in top-class events. I think this could be the week he gets back to winning ways. He putted really well at Bay Hill last week, so if he gets a chance this time, I think he'll take it.
How many more tips have you got? Spin through them for us.
I've got three more. Go on. Starting off, we've talked about bounce-back ability. It's got to be the man, Tommy Fleetwood. I think he's far too good a player to not bounce back. He actually ended the longest cuts made streak on the PGA Tour when he missed the cut last week. He had 33 cuts made in a row. little refreshment. He's an absolute cut-making machine. I expect him to fully bounce back this week. I think he wants to stick it to people like Azinger, who doubts him and can win a PGA Tour event. And there's no bigger normal PGA Tour event than this one, the PGA Championships.
Oh, by the way, did anyone know what Azinger made of Tommy Fleetwood winning? Tyrrell Hatton winning on the US Tour.
Yeah, I'm sure he's
gone quiet.
I'm sure he's had a bit of a ribbon about that. Absolutely. But on to Tommy. He's 25-1. He's got back-to-back top sevens here, and both of those are across the two different time periods: the May one and the March one. Shows that shouldn't affect him too much. He has four top three finishes across the PGA and the European Tour combined this season. I think last week's miscut has helped his price a little bit. I think he'd have been a bit shorter going into that. He's the fifth in strokes gained off the tee last week. So despite missing that cut, he's actually hitting the drive pretty well. And that's something he traditionally does. So whatever the course setup will be, it should suit him here. He actually has the lowest scoring average of any player in the last 10 years at Sawgrass, where they've played at least 12 rounds. That is 70.17. So for me, this is the week that Tommy Fleetwood bites back, not just bounces back. So I'll be on him.
Very good. And you've got a couple more for us?
Yeah. So this one is pure. The next two are purely on value. Sergio Garcia. Talking about all records at Sawgrass here. Sergio Garcia is the all-time money list leader at this event. He's won over $5 million here. He has by far the best value in the field. 70-1 for a previous winner. He leads the field in strokes gained off the tee. Fifth in driving distance. He's got three top tens in his last four starts on the European Tour. With the other being a tied for 23. Not so great on the PGA Tour. Two tied 37s. Seven out of seven cuts made here at Sawgrass. In a course where anything can happen, being in the mix come Sunday could be very, very valuable. At that price for an each way, I mean, he won it in 2008, as I said. He's had a couple of other podium finishes as well since then. 70-1 seems an absolute steal to me.
And because you were so sensational last week, you've got
a fifth one.
Of course you do.
This is only a quick one, but this one, I looked
the
through the prices.
The fifth selection for the fifth major.
There you go. That was lovely, wasn't it? 125-1, Scott Scheffler. I mean, he's not had the most amazing form recently, but he had a streak of four top 20s a few months back. He missed cuts, a couple of missed cuts, then bounced back with a tied 15th at Bay Hill. He's the eighth in strokes gained off the tee, sixth in par four scoring average, which I think is quite big. His underlying stats are strong. He's a very good player. He's up and coming. Sawgrass can often throw up winners from out of nowhere. And I think that 125-1 is just a ridiculous price. I don't see him winning it, but I could easily see him getting the top five.
So we've got Scott Scheffler, and don't get confused with Steve Xander Schauffele. Who's the biggest shock winner you can think of in recent times, really, Steve? Because, I mean, there have been some absolutely enormous prices, haven't there?
So it's got to
be Craig Perks, it's got to be, hasn't it?
We love Craig Perks because old Maureen ran on to...
It was brilliant, wasn't it? Fantastic sings.
Our favourite sort of celebrity wife.
Absolutely.
But yeah, every chance. Scotty Scheffler could come good. But I've only got three against the field. And the third one is Gary Woodland, the US Open champion. He's not frightened of these elite events anymore. One of the best drivers in the world. And the March Sawgrass sets up really well for him. He's lived in Florida for a few years. His maiden PGA Tour title came in Florida. And he's in great nick, crucially. He finished 12th in the Mexico Championship on a course he doesn't really appreciate. And then he was 8th in the Honda Classic last time out. So, yeah, 50-1 Woodland is the biggest price that's attracted me.
Excellent. Let's have a quick chat about tournament favourite and defending champion Rory McIlroy. Did he come close to being tipped this week, Seb?
No, simply because of price. I mean, Rory could run away with it any week. He's contending every single week. If you look at his run, he won this event last year. His run coming into this event was actually not far off being as impressive as it was this year. So he loves this time of year, it seems. I mean, when's he going to win? I don't know. It won't be far. It probably could be this week. But for me, the price is not attractive enough to get on him in such a strong field. He just struggles to close the door at the minute.
Steve, what price would Rory have had to have been before you were going to tip him?
Double figures would have tempted me. I mean, he's had seven top fives in a row now. He finished fifth on Sunday, despite all the debacles, two double bogeys. But, yeah, he's the best player in the world. There's no doubt about that at the moment. But, yeah, his course management was poor on Sunday. Yeah, a couple of shocking decisions.
You see the blade out of the bunker? That really surprised me, that one, where he bladed it straight out of the bunker long and into the rocks.
Well, we talked about he might not like the grind of it last week, and I think that did catch up with him in the end. But I respect Rory this week, and I wouldn't rule out a successful title defence. But that's four winning chances in a row this year he's let slip. Yeah, must probably get
into
his head. He's a
layer's dream, isn't he, right now? If someone's on the exchanges laying him, you know, that's just... Come Sunday now, you're cashing out for a nice arrow.
And yeah, on the other side of that, he's playing so brilliantly that he's always contending, but he just seems to have these brain freezes or something goes a bit wrong, doesn't it? But surely, as you said, Seb, it's going to come right for him at some point, and they won't see him for dust, will they?
I'd love it to be Augusta. We all know it's the one he wants to win now, to complete the career Grand Slam. I mean, he's come close so many times, he's thrown it away at least once. I'm rooting for him massively. I love Rory, but when it comes to value and betting, I can't back him at this price.
A quick word from each of you on just the reformatting of the US Tour calendar, because obviously it didn't used to get going until Augusta, and then you had this in May, and then the majors would sprawl out right through to August. It's all done and dusted now. They've brought this through to March. We're all done by July now, aren't we? The Open being the last one. I mean, are you in favour of that, Steve?
Yeah, it steps up a gear now, don't it? You've got March this, Masters April, boom, 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 boom. Yeah, I like it. And I remember tipping, I think it was Koepka to win the Grand Slam, because I thought if you keep your form for a short period of time, you can hoover up these majors. I don't mind it. I think this is why Dustin Johnson's such a good bet this week, because he's had that time off. And he's going to want to get his equipment sorted in time for the heart of the season, which we're entering now. I don't think there'll be any messing about. I think he's been messing about in these first few months of the year, trying new drivers, trying new woods, trying new putters. He seemed to switch his putter every blimmin' week. So I'm putting my faith in Johnson this week that he's got a settled bag now and he's ready to kick on in the biggest events of the season.
And Seb, the new format does is it gets the majors out of the way, and then the focus is more on the FedEx Cup, isn't it? The race for that. So are you in favour overall?
Yeah, absolutely. I like it. It brings everything more close together, keeps the momentum going. It means everyone in the golf industry is a lot busier during that time. There's less downtime. But yeah, I'm all for it.
Can you just tell me what you said earlier about the app? You can follow every shot of every player. How's this going to work?
I don't know.
I'm the biggest moron ever when it comes to technology.
Well, I saw this sort of thing. So we obviously are yet to see how it will play out for the players this week. But last year, Augusta was the first year I saw them use it. And basically, you go onto the app, you click on, say, look a big course map, click on, say, the fifth hole, and it will show you a little dot. Every single golfer is either on the green, in the fairway, or on the tee. You click on them and you've got their entire shot history.
Oh,
you
wow.
can just watch live. So you could have a flyover and you'll see the ball up on the green. Then you tap on the line where the ball's landed and it'll bring up a 5-second clip of the shot being hit. So you could literally say, right, where's Tiger 11th? Right, watch Tiger hit his approach shot. Right, Ricky's just teed off in first. I'll go and watch that. Oh, look, Bryson's holding on 18. I'll go and watch that. So you could basically be the producer of your own TV show.
Love it.
On the app. It's been incredible to watch.
And that's the PGA Tour app, obviously, which is about the most essential piece of equipment a golf punter needs. Let's see again who the boys have tipped this week. We will recap in case you missed it. We'll start with Seb. Your players' championship selections are?
We have Webb Simpson, Bryson DeChambeau, Sergio Garcia, as my pen drops, Tommy Fleetwood and Scott Scheffler.
And Steve?
Dustin Johnson, Xander Schauffele and Gary Woodland.
And whose tip do you like out of the others? Who do you think, if you were tipping one of Seb's five, who would that be, Steve?
I think Bryson DeChambeau would be one of Seb's five. Yeah, yeah, you got to respect what he did on Sunday. And, yeah, he's the sort of player that's cocksure enough for this arena because, yeah, it's probably the hardest closing stretch in golf, you know, and very little phases DeChambeau. So, yeah, I respect him this week.
And if you were backing one of Steve's, so we've got Woodland, Xander, Schauffele and DJ.
I'm a massive DJ fan. I love DJ. He just hurt me too much after I went big on him at the WGC, let me down massively. So he's got to earn my trust back again, DJ. If you can just have another solid week for me, I might get back on you for Augusta. But I'm jealous of you having him this week, for sure.
I must admit, when I saw the prices, you know, sometimes you look at the odds and sometimes one just jumps at you. I did think to myself, hang on a second, what's DJ done to suddenly slump to that kind of level? But you're the man in form. So loads of great tips from the boys there. Thank you very much indeed for those chaps. Okay, so that's who the boys fancy this week. Good luck. Don't forget to bet responsibly, but hopefully there's a winner or two there. And with so many great each-way offers, you might even get one placed as well. And indeed this year, the boys have had at least an each-way return every single week. Now, last week was absolutely fantastic. Not always going to be like that, which is why you must bet responsibly. But it should be a cracking week. And we are back on the sweet spot next week to look at the Valspar Championship. The tour stays in Florida. And fingers crossed, we've got the Indian Open this week as well. We were going to look to the Kenyan Open this week, but that was called off because of the virus. Hopefully that will stay away. We can enjoy a fantastic Cheltenham, all the great football, and the golf show will continue. So thank you, Steve. Thank you, Seb. Thanks for joining us. Back next week with another sweet spot.